Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, I mentioned Paul's name there, and I want to emphasize again, as I've emphasized before, that every part of the Bible is the Word of God. Although Paul was used to write down these words in 1 Corinthians and in other books that he wrote, because he wrote many of them, nevertheless, every word that he wrote down was dictated to him by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit used his style of writing, but nevertheless, when Paul speaks, he's speaking the Word of God. And we need to accept this, and we need to recognize this, no matter where we read in the Bible, whether from the Old Testament or the New Testament. We are reading the Word of God. We don't treat it as a word of man. Now, if we treat it as a word of man, we're going to misunderstand it. We're going to feel, perhaps, well, Paul hated women, or Paul hated this, or Paul hated that. No, it's not Paul's feelings that are involved here. Very often, even when Paul is defending himself, the Holy Spirit is telling him how best to defend his apostleship and his integrity. Because in 2 Corinthians, we're going to see, as we touch on that very briefly at the end of this series on 1 Corinthians, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul is defending himself. But even there, the wisdom from the Holy Spirit is present in his life to know how his apostleship and his ministry can be defended. And so, as we study the Word of God, we're approaching 1 Corinthians in the same way we approach any other book in the Word of God. As we study the Word of God, we take it as God's Word. Therefore, we respect it, we yield to it, we obey it, we submit to its teachings in every possible way. We don't ignore its teachings, but rather we submit to them, and we obey them with all our hearts, and we desire to please God because He has given us His complete Word. Now, as we've come into this book of 1 Corinthians, I have emphasized again and again that this book has to do with the problems of a troubled church. Now, it seems strange that we would be emphasizing such a book, but my point is that churches today can have many of the same problems, and they don't even recognize these problems sometimes. They simply accept them. The problems are present among them. They don't deal with them. They don't discipline people who are causing some of these problems. And so these problems mount up and they become a hindrance to the progress of the gospel. And I've seen churches like this in America, and it's possible even here on Guam there could be churches like this. And so we recognize in these 12 problems that are dealt with in 1 Corinthians, we recognize that perhaps Satan, as a clever enemy, could bring some of these into our own churches. Now, I don't want to go back and review the problems we've already discussed. We've already come to problem number 9. The problem began with the problem of disunity in the Corinthian church, where they were following 3 different leaders, chapters 1 to 4. Then it progressed on through, discussing one problem after another. And now we've come to the 9th problem, and it's the problem of the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit in this Corinthian church. Now, I mention again that I dealt with the gifts of the Spirit in a previous series of messages. I had a long series of topical studies on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have heard some of those messages, but others of you are hearing afresh from this book of Corinthians concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Now, in the last message, I pointed out that in 4 different books, there are lists of these gifts of the Spirit. We found this in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. We found it in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. We found it again in 2 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And it's possible that there are several other epistles where gifts may be referred to, even very, very briefly. But in these 4 books, including now 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, we're going to find more of a complete list of these gifts of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit wants to work in our local bodies of believers and using these gifts to build up and to edify the body of believers and to help them go forward in the great work of God. So we've already discussed the list of those gifts. But I wanted to give you several observations as we come into this subject now. First of all, as we compare the lists of gifts in these four epistles, some have wondered why the Corinthian church seemed to have more of them than any other church. Now let me just come back to this for a few moments. Part of the reason may be that the pagan city in which they lived offered more of a spiritual challenge than any other city in the Roman Empire. Not only was there idol worship, which would have been present in every city of the Roman Empire, but also there was the prominence of pagan philosophy. Now that set that city off from most other cities of the empire. Even the city of Athens, just to the north of Corinth, wouldn't have had all of the philosophy that Corinth had. This was a city famous for its philosophers, the Greek philosophers of the day, and many of these are still quoted even today as you study from various professors in the universities in America, here in Guam. These professors from the Greek area were quoted. So the believers needed the special encouragement and confirmation that the presence of the full list of these gifts would give them to combat the pagan ideas. Now the second reason may be that this city, perhaps more than any other city, would be the launching place for the work of God to the rest of Europe. Now remember, only that eastern side of Europe had been reached by the Apostle Paul. Paul himself in Romans chapter 15 and again in the book of Acts had a burden to reach out to other parts of the Roman Empire, to reach to Rome itself, beyond Rome to Spain, and to other parts of the civilized areas of the Roman Empire. And that area had not been reached with the gospel. As far as we know, no one had gone there. Contrary to the teaching of some, as far as we know, Peter never went to Rome at all. He never got to Rome. He didn't die there. Paul never mentions him in any of his epistles written from Rome. I won't go into that subject anymore. But no one else had reached the Roman Empire. And it may have been that God wanted to use the church at Corinth as a launching place for the spread of the gospel. Now, another observation I want to make is this. Although many of these gifts were intended to be used during the entire church age, it is also very clear in this section of Scripture, chapters 12, 13, and 14, that there were certain of the gifts in chapter 12 that had purposes limited to that day, and these gifts would pass away before too much time had passed in the church age. Now we're going to be talking about this again, but according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, the ones which were given only for a limited time were prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. At the same time, faith, hope, and love would continue. Since the interpretation of tongues was related only to tongue speaking, that too, of course, would pass away. So the passing away of some of the gifts, while faith, hope, and love would continue, cannot refer to eternity, as some teach. Faith and hope would no longer be needed or will be present in eternity. And those terms can only be applied to the church age for those who have not yet died and gone to be with the Lord. Now this passage from 1 Corinthians 13 also makes it clear that the passing away of these few gifts would happen very soon after that period of time, since it relates to their use to the limited knowledge that they had of the truth in that day. In other words, in that day, they didn't have the entire New Testament. They only had a few books, and perhaps none of the books that had been written, the book of James, the book of Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and now 1 Corinthians, these would not be distributed and compiled and brought together until at least the end of the century, and perhaps even to the middle of the next century. So it might be the middle even of the 2nd century, maybe 125, 150 A.D., before these gifts would finally pass away, these gifts that were no longer needed, that were related to the writing of the Scriptures. So it's very important for us to understand that when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, we're not talking about gifts which have passed away already, but we're talking about gifts wherein the Holy Spirit still works to help to edify and to build up the body of believers. So it makes it very clear that the ongoing gifts of the Spirit are very important to us today. Now, these special gifts, where there's partial source of knowledge, the ones I'm talking about are prophecy and tongues and so forth. These were their partial source of knowledge of God's New Testament truth, and would not only be for their encouragement and uplifting at that time, but it would also give them additional confirmation that all that was happening was truly from God. You can see this even on the day of Pentecost, when tongues were first introduced. There was no written New Testament whatsoever. The Christian faith was very new. How could they confirm that God was truly working through them? They had no Bible to present to the people, just the Old Testament itself, but not the New Testament. And now they were standing up to preach in the name of Jesus. Well, through the gift of tongues for one reason, the gift of miracles for another reason, gifts which were absolutely essential in that day. Now, I want to emphasize, and I want to leave this subject, but I want to emphasize this truth. That is that church history shows that such gifts as prophecy and tongues, in fact, did pass away before 150 A.D. Although some people claim there is no valid mention of them again until some claim to have them again in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. In other words, all through church history, from about 125-150 A.D., right up until the end of the 19th century, there was no more mention of these gifts which he said would pass away. Therefore, we don't look for these gifts in the church today. I speak respectfully of those who practice these gifts, who claim that they have these gifts. But as far as the Scriptures are concerned, these gifts are no longer present in the church. The Holy Spirit is still at work, but these particular gifts are no longer present in the church. So, in addition, and let me just close with this, the gift of the apostles, also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, and in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, this gift also would not continue once the last of the apostles had died in 95 A.D. Now, I may come back and discuss this a little bit more in the next message, but this was a very special and a very limited office given only to a few men, including the Apostle Paul. And they had special purposes in that day when the gospel was first introduced and the authority and the power of the apostles was needed to validate the message that they were preaching. Now, what I want to say is this. The gifts of the Spirit are very, very important. But it's very important that you find the gifts that are still valid in the church today. In other words, apart from these few gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 13. And of course, the gift of miracles, which was called a sign of the apostles. In addition to these gifts, there are many other gifts which the Spirit is still using. And I want to say that putting aside things which some are teaching today and turning to the gifts which apparently are still being used by the Spirit, we need to identify the gifts that we have in the body of believers. Every one of these gifts is important, and it's my prayer as you continue on in your Christian lives and as you work together in the body of believers that you may find the gifts that God has given each one of you and that you may use these gifts for the glory of Jesus and for the exalting of His name and for the ongoing of God's plans and purposes for the local church. And may this be true in your local church. May God help you and bless you, each one.